But before then, I think we should hear the winning melody, 1975.
Hello, my name's Matt E from the 1975, and you are listening to Livewire.
It's been a long year. You've toured, I think this is your third tour in the UK just this year, and it's September, yeah. And you've been to America at least twice. What's it like?
It's difficult to have perspective on the road, especially when you have your profile raises as quickly as ours had. It's like some holiday romance, you know. It's only when you get home from that holiday that you really realise what it was. Well, we've not been home from this romance yet, and we're still going, so it's kind of this process of just evolution. The way that I relate to it, in your hometown, if you throw a party and like 50 people turn up, that's an amazing feeling. You walk around with your kind of head held high and it's really cool, and you feel not popular, but you feel like you're doing something that people care about. Imagine doing that every night for 2,000 people all across the world. You're being rewarded in kind of every way. Because sometimes I came off stage the other night and I was kind of like thinking about a song, and I nearly said I'm a bit bored of playing that song. And then I thought, if I'm bored of doing that, what would I be like if I was working in like a normal job? I don't know. But then again, I've never really lasted in a job. So
you get a lot of bands saying that, though. You get, you know, the bands that just have that one famous song and they hate it. So I guess it's kind of understandable.
That's why I like having a lot of songs and actually caring about our music and not wanting to be in a band because I want to be in a band. Not writing a song and then going, hold on, we could be big.
You've got one album and you're going to have people wanting to hear songs that you're not going to be able to play, which has got to be a good thing, surely.
Yeah.
Better that than having a song that everyone's waiting for that you play right at the end.
Exactly, that's totally it. I mean, we're probably going to put a single out from the next record in October next year, I reckon. Might as well just keep making music. If people want to listen to it, no point like resting on our laurels.
What's your plans for recording? I guess you're just somebody that just wants to be constantly recording.
Well, we are. We're recording the second album on there now. Like right this second, I think George is working on stuff now.
You're recording the album on your tour bus, man. That's pretty wicked. Is this demos or is this recording your album?
That's how we do. We demoed the entire album in my bedroom. We had the album that sounded the quality of the EPs, Falling For You, Music For Cars. We've got them. We might release them at some point, see what people think. So that's how we're doing the second album. We've probably already got about 6 or 7 songs, but that's because we don't stop writing. Bands always talk about, oh, we went away to write this album or went here. And we're always a bit like, what do you mean? What you went at like a certain time? Or, it's always been very strange. But yeah, so we're doing the album at the moment. It's a banger, working on a banging tune at the moment.
I'm looking forward to hearing it, man. Looking forward to hearing it. Some of your tracks are like 10 years old, you're saying. After a certain point, is it almost like reminiscent? Has it got that nostalgic feeling?
Well, it does have a nostalgic feeling because I think that's where it comes from. But I think mainly we are very fortunate because we've had a kind of process of revigoration. We were a band for 10 years that weren't exposed to any fans at all. We wrote loads of material and then we lived with it from a personal level. We then released that material when we were used to it, when we were older, and it kind of gave it a new life because I started to learn so much more about what those songs meant when I found out what they meant to other people. I think what I mean is that process of validation really, really catalyzed a progression in our understanding of who we were and what we were doing and what our music actually meant. So for us, it was a beneficial element as opposed to it becoming boring. And I think with performing now, it's such an innate part of our vocabulary. Everyone's like, are you bored of singing chocolate? It's like, well, are you bored of saying the word and? Do you know what I mean? You don't really think about it. Do you know what I mean? You do it so much.